Welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Wirecast, our very first live episode of the Nintendo Wirecast, which is kind of crazy to think about. Sorry for the hiccups there. It's our first time streaming on this new YouTube setup. I'm excited to be here, though. And with me, as always, is the man, the myth, my Ring Fit brother, the amazing TJ. How you doing, buddy?
Doing amazing. How about yourself, Amiibo Jason?
I'm wiping sweat from my brow because I was nervous that this wasn't going to happen. It was to the point where, for some reason, the video seemed to be working, but it just didn't want to go through. But now it looks like we are officially live. I'm excited that we're finally here. It's been a while since we've done this on YouTube, especially you and me. We used to do this on the regular for the most part, once or twice a month. You and I would do a nice little live stream.
Yeah, we used to be 2 hours apart, and now we're on the opposite side of the world, and we've somehow managed to be able to make it a lot more consistent.
Which is odd.
Yeah, I know. So, but I did hear that in Wisconsin there's been some power outages, and then you've managed to use the lightning speed of your massive pectoral muscles to be able to keep the juice on?
I don't know if that's the case. We're going to get into that because a lot of people are like, what the heck are they talking about? it's been weird. There's some crazy windstorms here in Wisconsin. A lot of you might not know this, but Hiro, TJ, and I have lives on top of doing Nintendo stuff too. I have a full-time job on top of doing Nintendo Wire. I have a family. I have a wife and a daughter. So it was harder and harder to do these live streams. But as you mentioned before, we're finding more and more time to do this stuff. And it's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving where you are right now, even though I'm not sure.
Although it's not, because in Taiwan, Thanksgiving is not a recognized holiday. So,
but are you doing something?
They don't really sell turkeys to speak of. So we're going to probably maintain the same routine that we do every day. We kind of have a mini Thanksgiving every night anyway, just the family sitting at the table together. So it won't really be that out of the ordinary. My wife expressed to me last night that she's a little bit relieved because the last decade we've really had a big how-to-do for Thanksgiving. And we always looked forward to it, and we always enjoyed it, and we liked the time with family and friends. But not having to do all the work associated with it, she's like, I kind of like that it's going to be a low-key Thanksgiving this year. Well, we still have a lot to be thankful for. So even though we're not going to have the turkey with all the trimmings, there's very a lot of blessings that we have to appreciate.
So my whole family is sick at the moment, so Thanksgiving's going to be kind of odd. So myself and my wife, Happily Candied, we are both in kind of a weird spot, which is why my voice is so much nice and deeper. I wish I could kind of keep my sick voice kind of as my full-time voice, even though it totally sucks. One of the comments on the Nintendo Wiretap last night was, get well soon, but you sound so much cooler with your sick voice.
Yeah.
It made me feel super, super happy. But
you should just make your Dark TJ impression your permanent voice.
I could try. I'll see what I can do. Now, I'm sure a lot of you might not know this, but the Nintendo Wirecast is a podcast. This is technically episode 9. Of the Nintendo Wirecast. We've been doing this now for over 2 months. It's something that we put on iTunes. We put it on Spotify. I think it's on Google Play as well. Obviously, this is our first time doing any kind of video podcast for the Nintendo Wirecast. Some of you might know all the way back in the day, we had the Amiibo Newscast and then the Nintendo Newscast. This is kind of like the spiritual successor to that. But one thing we have covered, I think, consistently...
Yeah, there has not been a week we haven't mentioned it.
has been Ring Fit Adventure. We have been playing Ring Fit Adventure now consistently since it's come out. It came out about 2 weeks earlier for me in the U.S.
Yeah, it came out on Halloween. Yeah,
on Halloween. So, and you
so I was a little behind.
You somehow managed to surpass me though in level. Well, were you like 110, 115.
I just hit 115 yesterday. Okay. I haven't played yet today. I think the reason that I've surpassed you, though, is because you kind of waffle between utilizing some of the workout functions in the game, which don't level up your guy. And I've stuck almost exclusively to adventure mode. The only times I even do the other things is trying to beat your impossible to top pectoral speed test.
I have no idea how I've gotten to that point, but I don't even get tired on that anymore, which is kind of crazy to think about. But if you're unfamiliar with Ring Fit Adventure, or if you've never listened to any of the podcasts we've done so far, we're kind of obsessed with it. Today is day 41 for me. I've played every single day for a bare minimum of 1 hour. Last night was an hour and a half. My record was 2.5 hours of playing Ring Fit. It is an incredibly interesting experience.
Yeah.
I don't want to bore those who have consistently watched or listened to the podcast in the past. But it's something where if you're trying to get in shape, if you're trying to look at like at a new fitness regimen, this is definitely something you're going to want to look into. Because Nintendo really knows how to take something as mundane as working out and making it fun and just a Nintendo-y experience. And so far I'm definitely enjoying it. I know you are too.
Yeah, every day. I had a marathon workout on Saturday, I think it was, where I actually went into it being like, I'm going to do a short one today. I got a lot of stuff to do. Fast forward 4 hours. I was like, oh man, am I still doing this? But I got
so level 115 and I'm lowly 108.
I got so caught up in the game loop. Like that, I happened to have been at a spot in the game where everything that I completed transitioned very smoothly into the next activity. And so I kept saying, okay, just one more thing, just one more thing, just one more thing. And I just one more thinged it for 4 hours. And my body feels great after doing it. I really love the way that they force me to do things that I don't ordinarily want to do. I love working out. I work out all the time. It's a regular part of my life.
Yeah.
I generally maintain a pretty elite level of fitness for competition, but there are some things about training that I do tend to avoid. My workout style of choice is impact training because I'm in a striking discipline. So a lot of the stuff that I do is hitting things, kicking things, spinning, jumping, that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of those types of workouts in Ring Fit. But one of the things that I avoid is yoga. And it's not because I don't think yoga is a good workout. It's because yoga bores me to tears. I just cannot stand things not like progressing. I want something to happen. But this game has found a way to make yoga exciting. So I'm doing a lot more yoga than I typically do. And I'll be the first to say, while I hate it, there are a lot of benefits to the body to be doing this kind of stretching. And it is sort of the counterbalance that my normal training regimen is lacking. So being able to get that in there, I could tell I'm getting a lot stronger. And I could tell that the game really you can use this as your solitary workout. Obviously, diet's a big part of it.
Yeah.
But if this is the only workout you do, you're going to get fit. If you do it regularly and you maintain a pretty systematic approach, you're going to get fit.
So a few things to keep in mind. So obviously, not everybody is like you, where we are the just embodiment of a perfect fitness body.
I wouldn't go that far.
You enjoyed working out though.
I'm healthy.
Before this. For me, I had worked out in the past. I used Wii Fit daily for the longest time, but I kind of fell out of it. I wanted to give myself 60 days minimum using Ring Fit, just kind of as a barometer of can I get back into working out. So far for me, I lost about 10 pounds. So I think I'm like 9 pounds down, 10 pounds down right now. I've put on new muscle. I'm getting some face gains. I can feel it. I can see it. So if you're on the fence about Ring Fit, don't be. It's a fun adventure. You're not like necessary. You don't have to be in like perfect shape to play this game either. There's what, 30 different levels of fitness that you can do on this thing. So you never have to worry about like, can my body handle this? There are so many different workouts you can do with this thing. So
it doesn't matter where you're starting. Like whatever your starting point is, the exercises are designed to scale to you. And I'm so impressed at how well the game does it. I play it with my children. And so a three-year-old is not capable of the same things as an adult or as even a six-year-old. And the game can do it. It finds a way to make it appropriate to whoever is using it. And that's like a huge mark above Wii Fit, which couldn't do that. Wii Fit did not ever sort out how to get kids involved. Every yeah. single kid registered as obese because the body mass index can't doesn't really apply to children.
They scrapped that entirely for this game.
Yeah.
For the most part, I mean, they ask for your weight once. Uh-huh. It's optional.
And it's only to really calibrate how many calories you're burning, really.
Yeah.
It's just estimating. So there's no like judgment or shaming on the part of the system. There's a whole lot of encouragement, though. And most of the encouragement is not vain platitudes. The encouragement is you actually want to get to the next level.
Yeah.
Both literally in the game and also physically so that you can achieve what's next in the game, which I don't even know how they did it. It's just a ton of fun. What I think every single time I play is that I want to play Pokemon Sword and Shield like this. I want to play Dragon Quest like this. I'm sure that it will never happen, but I hate turn-based RPGs. I think that they are an obnoxious, slow-paced waste of time, even if the stories are fantastic. And I've played some amazing Final Fantasy games where the story had me captivated, but I was too bored with the combat to be able to continue. And even though I wanted to know what was next, I fell off and I couldn't stick with it. But if I could do this, where the part of the game that is typically the most boring became the most physically active, I'd be right back in there. I don't know how they would get.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see Nintendo do more with it. The same thing with the balance board. I wanted to see Nintendo utilize it more. I think there was one or two games that did utilize it, but Nintendo kind of just let it be. My guess is that's going to be the same thing that happens to this. I'd like to see, because it's an RPG, there to be a full-fledged sequel, DLC, any other maybe third-party applications that would utilize the Rincon. I mean, it's too cool of a piece of tech for Nintendo to just say one and done with this thing. And I thought I was close to beating this game, and apparently I'm not even close to beating this game. I saw some people hit level 215.
Yeah, wow.
And they said, I just beat the game at 215. And I'm like, that's absolutely insane. I thought, and I predicted this on the last episode of the podcast, I predicted the game would end around level 100. And that is definitely not the case. There's a lot more to explore in this game. I haven't done it yet. So what, it's almost 9 o'clock here in Wisconsin. So after we're done podcasting here, I'm definitely going to be spending an hour to an hour and a half playing Ring Fit once again. So
now let me ask you a more specific question. I'm not sure how much this is going to apply to the people in chat or watching this. On level 3 and a few other levels, I have some side quests that I can't trigger. Has that happened to you?
No, I've not seen
like
that.
There's a question mark there, and I've done everything there. I've done all the requests that people put in. But in 3 of the worlds, I have like 95%, but I can't figure out what I didn't do to get that last request.
So maybe I just have a question mark. Once you beat the game, maybe it's like end quest type things. I have no idea.
Have you been 100%ing the worlds?
No. Most of the worlds I do are like level 50, level 60, and I'm done. Or 50%, 60%, and I'm done. I did have to go back and do some side quests because I was broke. I needed more money, and I was getting my butt kicked. Besides that, though, I just typically do the main quest and I'm done.
The side quests, I think, are what really makes it hard for me because I'll get one of those gym challenges that come up. The gym challenge is basically you walk into a room and you have 3 or 4 rounds of nonstop battling with a series of enemies. And every time I go in there, it's something I don't think I have the physical stamina to be able to get through. And that's where I really find myself pushing the hardest. So every time I see the gym one, I take a deep breath. I steel my resolve. And I'm like, okay, let's do this. Monster's going down.
See, I had one of those things yesterday too, where it was just nonstop ab workouts. And I got to the point where they're like, you have to do, cause I'm maxed out on level. So I'm on level 30. And I think I had to do planks and I was on the ground. It took me 20 to 30 seconds between planks to finish this one. I mean, that was at the end of an hour and a half workout. So, I mean, it's not like I'm totally weak, but at the same time too, it's the game can be unforgiving for sure. But yeah, like I said before, if you're on the fence, I highly recommend you pick this up. I do have a review on NintendoWire.com where I go through my 30-day kind of initial impressions of the game, if you want to check that out too. I promise you we're not going to bore you with nothing but Ring Fit Adventure for this entire podcast, because it is Thanksgiving. The whole point of this podcast is to thank Nintendo for the amazing year that we had. And let me tell you, it was pretty amazing. I think so. We had Amiibo, a lot of new Amiibo, which made me super happy. A bunch of new Super Smash Bros. Content. We had some great games like Luigi's Mansion. Lots of really cool stuff to be thankful for. Do you want to go into Amiibo first?
Yeah.
All right, let me go ahead and switch out the picture here. There we go. Now we have a nice little Amiibo background. Granted, the Amiibo in the video that's playing above here are not from this year. They're from 2015 and on. But at the same time, too, I think it's kind of nice to look back as we look forward to. So this year, Nintendo graced us with a nice selection of Super Smash Bros. Amiibo. We even got some Amiibo outside of the Super Smash Bros. Line, which made me kind of happy, too. I did want to get your opinion on what was your favorite Amiibo of the year. So of 2019...
Do you remember what the first wave of Amiibo were? If I can get the first ones in my head, then yeah. I'll be able to...
The first wave this year?
Yeah.
Oh, man. 1 second.
Because I think I have a pretty good idea what my favorite one is, but my timeline on Amiibo gets a little bit blurry because I'm all in. So whenever they come out, I'm hunting them down, but I'm not sure exactly where that change happened from 2018 to 2019.
In November was the first wave, and we had Ridley, Inkling Girl, and Wolf, right?
Yes.
Okay. So everything after that, I believe, was 2019.
Okay.
At least I believe so. So that would be Daisy. Let me see the date that Daisy was added here. No, I think, yeah, Daisy was 2019. So Daisy, Ken, Isabelle, Pichu, Young Link, Ice Climbers, King K. Rool, Piranha Plant, and then we had the two Pokemon, Snake, Incineroar, Crom, Simon Belmont.
Yeah. Okay. This was a good year for Amiibo. As we've discussed many times in this podcast before, the quality of them has gone up. So yeah. Not only do I think that – do I have a favorite of this year, but I think my top maybe three favorites all came from this year. And that's in large part because of the increase in quality and the specific characters that we got. Yeah. I would say the three standouts, and this is in some – ways because they are amazing Amiibo, and in other ways because they're characters that resonate really strongly with me, is that, sorry, I keep hearing chimes over here. I love Young Link. Mm-hmm. I think that the Young Link pose is super dynamic. It's an Amiibo that from a customizing standpoint, I was able to utilize in a lot of ways, and yeah. I customized him into a Hero TJ and a Dark TJ. So I have a very intimate knowledge of the way that particular Amiibo was assembled. And I had I don't know, 40 or so hours tinkering with it. I also love the Link Between Worlds Amiibo because it's different. It's yeah. glossy. It surprised me. I didn't expect it to come. And I love the Simon Belmont Amiibo. Simon Belmont's one of my favorite, if not my second favorite character in video game history.
Yeah.
So between him and Link, it could be a little bit of a toss-up. But what I find so exceptional about his Amiibo, which I didn't even notice myself, I probably should have noticed, I saw on Reddit, is that he's in the same pose as he is on the box art from the original NES game, which is one of those Simon Belmont, that...
I gotta grab that Amiibo off the shelf here real quick.
That's like, what a Sakurai thing to do. This guy has such impeccable attention to detail, and he crams so much specific character... into every single thing that he does, from the taunts to the special moves down to the Amiibo poses. This is just such an impressive figure.
Yeah.
I love the chain and the cleverness of not having to put unnecessary supports on the figure by having the chain be close enough to the forearm to have some organic reinforcement so that it can be fused to the forearm from a figure standpoint.
Yeah.
I love that. But if I was really pressed and I had to pick just one, I would probably say Young Link is my favorite.
That's a good choice. I mean, obviously you're a massive Zelda fan, so it makes perfect sense. For me, I think it has to be Simon Belmont, and it's for all the reasons you've mentioned before. And I think I mentioned this on the podcast last week as well. The quality on Simon Belmont is, at least in my opinion, better than any human character we've seen so far. I know you mentioned that the skin tone was kind of uniform throughout the whole thing, so there was kind of a lack of shading. But even even with that, everything about this amiibo, down to the armor, the whip, his face, his headband, his hair, it's pretty much a perfect human representation of a Nintendo amiibo. If you would line up pretty much every single humanoid character, I would say this is the most detailed. And I'm not even a massive Castlevania fan. I like the series, but there's something about this amiibo that just makes me happy. So Simon Belmont has to get it from me, for sure. So besides that, though, I'd say the honorable, or the second place for me, honorable mention, would be, let's see, Ivysaur. I think Ivysaur looks great, too.
That is a fantastic looking amiibo. I think if I was more of a diehard Pokemon fan, that would probably be, it's a standout as a figure, but because I'm a filthy casual when it comes to Pokemon, that I guess puts it in a little bit less of a place of prestige in my own personal heart.
Yeah. Well, I guess at this point, amiibo are kind of slowing down. I think 2019, there was only a handful that really came out. I mean, 99% of them were in the Super Smash Brothers line. We have Shovel Knight amiibo coming out in like 2 weeks, which is kind of exciting. Those are third party, though, obviously. Besides the Link's Awakening Link amiibo, am I missing anything? Did we get any other amiibo outside of the Super Smash Brothers line this year?
I strain to think of a single amiibo that was not in the Smash Brothers line other than that Link's Awakening Link.
Man, this is killing me. I feel like I'm missing something. I really do. But at the same time, too, I'm not sure if I am. I gotta talk to chat on this one. So in the chat, is there any amiibo that we're missing that were outside of the Smash Bros. Line that are not the Shovel Knight amiibo? And that is not the Link's Awakening amiibo. If you happen to know, let us know in chat. I'm super curious. I don't know. I guess we're going to have to find out.
Do you anticipate that we're going to be seeing any more non-Smash related amiibo? Or are they just going to slowly trickle out the rest of the Smash ones and that will be all she wrote for amiibo?
It's hard for me to say, because if you were to ask me that question pre-E3... of last year, or of this year, I would say that they're going to finish up Smash and that's going to be it. But then they completely surprised me with that Link's Awakening amiibo.
Yeah. Just,
I did not expect that one to come out at all. I thought Nintendo was going to be like, okay, let's just finish up the Smash line and be done. So part of me feels like we're going to get these one-off amiibos from Nintendo, at least for the foreseeable future. I'm not thinking it's going to be like it used to be, where it was every game release, not every game release, but most major game releases got their own series. We had the Kirby series. We had a Metroid series. I think those days are done. But yeah. I do think at the same time, though, Nintendo might surprise us with the one-off. And that's what I'm hoping for. I think that's all we can really ask for.
Because Mario Maker 2
not
only didn't release with any special amiibo, but also eliminated all amiibo functionality, I think that means we have no chance of seeing another Mario amiibo. I really think Mario is done, because if they didn't do one for Mario Maker 2 and they didn't do one for Luigi's Mansion, they didn't do any for Yoshi's Woolly World. I'm sorry, not Crafted Yoshi's World. Woolly World, Yoshi's Crafted World.
Missed opportunity, in my opinion.
Missed opportunity on all three fronts, because they could have sold at least six different figures between those series without question. But they did do one for Link's Awakening, and I think my theory on this is because Link is historically the top-selling figure going back since the first wave. They've sold so many Link amiibo that it's almost a guaranteed moneymaker. But when I think about Breath of the Wild 2, which isn't that far off, amiibo were not the best thing about Breath of the Wild, but it certainly was an aspect of the game that deeply enhanced my appreciation for it. And you know what? Maybe the Wolf Link amiibo was one of the best things about the game for me, at least for the way that I played it.
Yeah.
But I used all those amiibo all the time, and I had a ton of fun doing it. I loved unlocking the costumes. It just added another level to the game. But because they eliminated it between Mario Maker and Mario Maker 2, I'm speculating that they might do the exact same thing with Breath of the Wild and Breath of the Wild 2. Yeah. And that would be a letdown for me because of how much I enjoyed that aspect of the previous iteration of the game.
Yeah, I'm not expecting it. If it does happen, it's going to be a pleasant surprise. I'm surprised that amiibo have lasted this long. Toys to Life, with the exception of Skylanders, which is defunct now anyway, typically doesn't have a lifespan past 5 years. And the fact that we are past the 5-year birthday of amiibo is pretty impressive in its own right. So that being said, if it does go on for another 5 years, fantastic. I mean, I'm going to buy every single one. If it doesn't, yeah, it had a really, really good run. This is not me saying I want amiibo to end, because that is not even close. Nothing could be further from the truth. But I don't think amiibo ever got to that category like Skylanders did at the end, where they were thrown in clearance bins for a buck a piece, and they just, for me, they lacked the heart that amiibo seemed to always have. So
there's certainly those like famously discounted
like
amiibo,
the Animal Crossing ones for sure.
But I think you're right, where just as a product in the most general of terms, because I don't think that they were ever intrinsically linked to a specific game, that extended their life considerably. Where, yeah, Disney Infinity figures, once Disney Infinity the game no longer exists, Disney the Infinity figures are obsolete.
Yeah.
Whereas Nintendo, they said, you know what? These are going to have some pretty deep functionality for Smash Brothers, and that's about it. And if you want to have cool little unlockable bonuses in a bunch of other games, it'll do that too. But mostly, it's a pretty sweet looking figure that you can put on your shelf, and the more you have, the better, yep, they look, and buy them all.
No, I totally agree with that.
So I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Let's buy those things.
Now, when I first started the Amiibo newscast, one of the very first things I said when Amiibo were first kind of huge was, when you compare it to Skylanders, nobody wants to get a Taekwon Crow, which was a Skylanders figure back in the day. No one wants to pick up one of those and put it on their desk and look at it. But for Mario and Link and Samus and all of these other characters, these are childhood memories. These things are going to be on people's desks, on their shelves, in their collections for years and years. When Amiibo is dead and gone, these things are going to be out. And I can pretty much guarantee you, unless you're a diehard Skylanders collector, your Skylanders, if you have them, are in a box or a tin or a tub or in a rummage sale box somewhere, never to be seen again, unless you're, yeah, a diehard collector. And that's what I think Nintendo has. Nintendo has the nostalgia factor, and they have something that collectors want to collect. So even after Amiibo are gone, they're still going to be here for sure, because they're never coming off my wall, ever. I mean, it's like when I look up, so right above me is my Amiibo collection. When I look up, I see a history of Nintendo, from Mario to Bayonetta and everything in between, and it just makes me incredibly happy. So I'm a fan. I want to see it keep going into 2020. I mean, we at least know that there's going to be more Super Smash Bros. Amiibo on the horizon, hopefully. So we got some time left before Amiibo are going to be singing any swan songs. So,
all right. I'm mostly curious to see if we're going to get anything outside of that Smash line. Because that, if Smash is how they close it out, that's how they started it. It's a romantic ending to an incredible run, as you said. But are we going to see any more outliers? I kind of hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too. I really do. There's so many games. I mean, part of me is like, I know the Animal Crossing amiibo kind of flopped. I'd like to see a new wave of Animal Crossing amiibo. Not necessarily as many as they put out last time, because there was so many.
Yeah. And if you combine it with the cards, Animal Crossing has more amiibo technically than any other series, bar none.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Combined.
I mean, there's what? Between the 5 series of cards, there's like 500 cards, something like that. Plus a 6th series of Hello Kitty cards that was in Japan. So, I mean, it's an absolutely insane amount of amiibo. So I'm guessing it's probably not going to happen. But it would be nice. The same thing, I'd like to see more Metroid Amiibo when we have Metroid Prime 3 eventually come out. So there's so many more things I'd like Nintendo to do with it. But like I said before, I think they're kind of ramping it down.
On the Animal Crossing front, I heard that they're starting a subscription service, kind of similar to what they had with Mario Kart Gold.
I was going to touch base on this last week on the podcast, but we ran out of time.
So I never got into Pocket Camp. Yeah. I started it. I thought I would like it. I befriended the queen of Animal Crossing, Happily Candy, and her mom, who are like the ultimate Animal Crossing Pocket Camp fans.
Yeah.
But for some reason, nothing about that game appealed to me. Like to me, Animal Crossing is about going around and hitting villagers with my net. And
yeah,
just
that's one way to go, I guess.
None of that stuff. It's setting pitfall traps and stuff like that. But none of the stuff that appeals to me about Animal Crossing was present in that game. Although I love Animal Crossing. I've played every game for hundreds of hours. Yeah. I'm very excited for New Horizons. For some reason, this one just failed to grab me at all. But there are clearly people out there who love this game. And one of the criticisms early on was that even people who were really enjoying it were struggling to find a way to give Nintendo money. Like, it was hard to find a way to pay for things other than the Leaf tickets, is it?
Yeah, the Leaf tickets are, like, if you want to buy fortune cookies in Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, which, if you don't know, fortune cookies give you special items in the game. So almost all of the best items you can get for your camp are kind of behind this paywall where you need to use Leaf tickets to get a cookie. It's a gacha system, and there's a chance you could get a really cool piece of furniture or something even better than that too. It ranges from couches and chairs and outfits to rocket ships and circus tents. I mean, you name it, there's probably a piece of furniture. However, Pocket Camp was never stingy with giving people Leaf tickets. So out of every Nintendo gacha game, I think Mario Kart Tour is the worst when it comes to how stingy they are with giving you rubies. But that being said, Animal Crossing is not stingy in any way, shape, or form. So 9 times out of 10, every single day, there's a way for you to earn Leaf tickets. So right now, I have not spent any money on Leaf tickets in over a year. And I have like 600 to 700 I'm sitting on right now.
Is it because they're so generous or because there's nothing for you to spend them on, or both?
I mean, I'm saving them. There's nothing really I want in Pocket Camp at the moment. I'm hoping at some point there's going to be like another Nintendo cookie or a Zelda crossover cookie, something like that. And then I'd spend my money on that or the Leaf tickets on that. But for the most part, I mean, they give you so many. There's login bonuses. They randomly give you 50 or 100 or 150 Leaf tickets for free or for nothing. So if you log into the game, you can usually collect these tickets and hang on to them. But I think at this point, Nintendo's like, how can we monetize this more? We can either A, cut back on how many Leaf tickets we give people, or B, we can do what made Mario Kart Tour so successful, and we can make a Gold Pass-esque experience for Pocket Camp. And that's what they did.
So what's your feelings about that as somebody who has spent a lot of time in the game?
There are two tiers to this whole thing. Tier number one, I think, is the funniest tier.
Okay.
Because it pretty much plays the game for you to a certain degree. For $2 a month, you can pick an animal in your camp and they will follow you around and they will do things for you. So the whole point in the game is you need to catch fish and you need to make money and you need to do these events and you need to collect items. And this animal will do all of these things for you. So you essentially, for $2 a month, you have an animal slave to do a lot of the mundane tasks of Pocket Camp. Now, if you're a diehard player, I mean, you're just going to get double the stuff. Or you can be a super lazy player, like I would if I ever got this. and I would do nothing, and it would just get me all the stuff, and I'd be good to go.
What is the appeal of that to you? Like, what's the satisfying thing where if you're not actually playing?
So imagine this. A lot of people, Happily Candid will tell you this, and I'm kind of in the same boat. They get very, very attached to their favorite villager. And for $2 a month, you can essentially have your favorite villager be your assistant.
Oh, so you get to choose who your assistant is.
Yes.
Oh, I could see that. So it's kind of like hiring a sidekick.
Yeah.
All right.
So they'll follow you around and they'll do stuff. And I mean, it's like you have this special bond with that character. So, I mean, if I did it, I would pick Drake the Duck because he's the best. He's by far the best in the game.
And Happily Candied would obviously pick Agnes.
Agnes,
the,
of course.
The hog. She's all in for you Agnes.
Now that you say that, I think I'm going to sign up for the free trial for a month and pick Agnes as my assistant.
Yeah, just to man. Kind
of rub it in her face. I think I have to do that. But that being said, that's $2 a month. So that's kind of the cheap option. The other one I think is $8 a month. I need to look that up. I got to fact check that. I think I'm going to just say, I think it's that's between six stiff. And eight.
That's a steep price tag for a monthly ongoing service. If the $3 one plays the game for you, what are you getting for this $8 that justifies that price?
So for $8, I think it's called the Cookie Club. And okay. You get a selection of like exclusive fortune cookies that you can get items and stuff with. So wow. Not my cup of tea. I think it's incredibly expensive. I think there are diehard Animal Crossing players that will get this for sure. Happily Candied's not getting it. We've discussed it. It's not in the budget.
Is it because
it's not in the budget?
I was going to ask you. Is it because it is too expensive?
It is so expensive.
Or is it because she doesn't? It doesn't attract her. Like, does it? Let's say money was no object.
Yeah.
Is there enough there, for? To warrant an $8 price tag? Like, is the appeal there?
I mean, if you're into the cookies, maybe. I mean, the cookies are fun to a certain degree. I personally don't think there's enough there, but I don't think this club was made for me.
Sure. Now, I wonder if when we finally do get New Horizons, if there's going to be communication between... Amiibo Jason's dying. I wonder when we do get New Horizons if there's going to be communication between Pocket Camp and the Switch title that would compel more people to want to invest in the Pocket Camp game. Because if there are like ability to transfer furniture or items or villagers between, then that might incentivize people to double dip. Because then you're paying monthly a subscription fee for the mobile game, but you purchase the retail game for the Switch. Can this be an ongoing money-making machine for Nintendo? I don't know.
Was I muted? Was I muted right there? I totally muted.
No way. I totally heard you, dude.
No, you heard me. Those guys did not hear me. I had it muted for like a couple seconds.
Okay. I gave him the dramatic play-by-play.
So I muted because I'm still sick. So I was like trying not to cough directly into the microphone. But what you were saying initially was the idea when Pocket Camp was first announced, they said it was going to be hooked up directly to New Horizons when that came out. From what I heard last, there's not going to be any connectivity whatsoever with Pocket Camp and New Horizons. So that's what I heard last. I'm not sure if Nintendo's going to change that. You would think they would, but at the same time, too, I don't think they want to alienate the dedicated Switch players.
Yeah.
I mean, one sec. Oh, my God. Ooh, I don't think they want to alienate the Switch players into like saying you need to get this in order to enjoy this. So personally, yeah. I don't think it's going to be a thing.
I hope not, because I'm definitely going to play this game. I was curious what they could possibly do with Animal Crossing to pull me back in. I've loved every game, but after like four times of that game loop, I'm like, do I really have the patience to pay off Tom Nook again? But they found a way to iterate on it where I'm excited. Yeah. I think they did exactly what they needed to do for this one to call back longtime series fans without making it feel too repetitive. I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of the same feelings that I had in other games, but that could be a good thing too, because I enjoyed it last time. But Animal Crossing is one of the few games that gamifies chores in a way where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to pick weeds and I'm going to do all this other mundane tasks that is really fun.
Yeah.
So having a character do those things for me, I don't see the appeal, but I guess Nintendo anticipates they're able to make the money off of it. And like you said, being able to form an even closer connection to a favorite villager, I suppose I could see why that would have some value for certain players.
Yeah. I mean, for me, Animal Crossing is kind of just a family affair. So my whole family plays Animal Crossing. And with New Horizons, we all have our own Switches. My daughter is going to get one for her birthday. So she's not going to watch this. So she's seven. So I'm not spoiling anything.
Are you getting her a light or the full-fledged deal?
I got her a light. So I already picked it up. I ordered her the Pokemon one because she liked the blue and the pink of that one. But we're all going to get it. We're all going to play it together. So it's going to be fun. I mean, that's the whole appeal. So I'm at the same point, too, where do I really want to pay off Tom Nook again? But at the same time, too, playing it as a family is going to be fun. So I can't wait to see what they're going to add to it. I mean, it's coming out in, what, 3 months? So I'm guessing...
Yeah, it's close. Yeah, getting close.
I'm guessing we're going to get a dedicated Nintendo Direct specifically for Animal Crossing very soon. So
yeah, and I'm thinking you're right about them not announcing more Amiibo. I think we might have seen the last Animal Crossing Amiibo.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on real quick to Smash Ultimate, because we had a heck of a year for Smash Ultimate 2. I'm actually going to be putting on one of my favorite videos from Smash Ultimate.
Yeah, I love this video too. So that's so good.
They took the amazing mural that they were kind of hyping up with Smash Ultimate, that they still use to this day anytime they add a new character. They took this mural and they brought it to life, and they had no music over it, so you can essentially put any music you want over the top and it seems to work.
No matter what it is, it works.
I think especially I put the Mortal Kombat Queens in there.
Yeah, that looked awesome. Queens Don't Stop Me Now is my favorite. That is so funny.
Oh, that was a perfect. It like synced up nearly perfect.
It was like describing what was happening between the fighters with the lyrics. It was just, it was so good that I in my mind have to imagine that the editor was playing that song while he was doing this.
So we are nearly done with the fighter pass. You and I never really discussed Terry Bogard to a huge degree. But I mean, we got Banjo, we got Terry, we got Joker, we got the hero from Dragon Quest, which is my personal favorite out of all of these. I cannot wait for that amiibo. Like, you have no idea. I'm beyond hyped for that one.
I'm with you there too. Out of all four of those, well, I think Terry's the most fun to play as, and he's the only one that I have any history with at all.
Yeah.
I'm not, I think I did mention in one of the past episodes, I'm not a big Fatal Fury or King of Fighters fan, but I played them in the 90s. Yeah. So I have some familiarity. To me, they're like a Street Fighter-like game. So when I picked up Terry and started playing with him, it was immediately familiar and it was super comfortable to play him. And I felt like I had a handle on him pretty quick. Whereas the other three characters, I've never played any game that had any of them in it. I guess I appreciate their inclusion, particularly Banjo, because I'm very familiar with that character, even though I don't know that I could, because I feel like that ship has sailed. I can't even play Mario 64 anymore. Mario 64 is loved it.
Get out of here, man. That's
crazy. I loved it, but I can't go back to that retro style camera. That I can't go back to the control, the way that game controls.
You gotta transport your brain back to 1996.
I don't have the ability. Even games that I spent hundreds of hours in, like Majora's Mask and Ocarina of Time, I struggle with them on the Nintendo 64. The remakes are great.
Yeah.
But there are certain, like, I played Breath of the Wild for probably 1,000+ hours. So whenever I play a game with inferior controls to Breath of the Wild, I have to really question whether or not I want to spend any more time in that world. Play control is number one for me. I don't care about graphics. All of those things are factors, like graphics, sound, all the other things. But number one for me is, how closely does the game match my intention as a player sure. with the action of the character on screen. And to me right now, the standard is Breath of the Wild. I want to perform a certain action. The game does it. And Smash Brothers, same thing. I want to perform an action. The game does it. But those older games, I just it's not in my makeup. I know some people, it's like part of their blood. They can go yeah. back and they can play Mario 64 whenever they want. They can go back and play Banjo whenever they want. But for somebody who completely missed it, I don't see myself being able to do that. What would be great is if somehow Microsoft and Rare and Nintendo can broker a deal to get remakes of Banjo on Switch. That would be spectacular.
But would you like them? I mean, you were kind of notorious for not liking Mario Odyssey.
I found Mario Odyssey to be extremely boring. It bored me to the point where of frustration to where I was like, when is this game going to be over? Or when is this game going to get good?
It gets good in the first 5 seconds because it's a great game to begin with. You and I could have this discussion back and forth for a
while. I know. And nobody agrees with me. So I accept that I'm in the minority on this. But everything about what that game – like the core conceit is that you have this hat that allows you to possess the form of basically any other person in the game. And it immediately struck me as so un-Mario-like, like so non – I don't want to say non-traditional because I like how Nintendo – I liked Flood in Mario Sunshine. And I like that Nintendo finds creative ways to reinvent these characters, Paper Mario, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But Cappy was always very off-putting to me. I don't like the hat. First of all, I think it's really stupid. And second of all, it seems very unheroic to – possess other characters. Like, it always just gave me this
capture
uncomfortable feeling.
Capture.
Yeah, capture.
They'll correct you. Nintendo.
That's the party line. That's the party line for sure. Is they're trying to find some way to soften the blow. You know, I actually think it would have been better if it was a Luigi game. If they somehow made it where it was Luigi's Mansion style, because Cappy is basically a ghost.
Yeah.
And so he's like yokai-ing his way into all of these other creatures. It would have been or you know what I really would have liked more than anything is if it wasn't a Mario game at all. If they made it a new franchise, that would have been super cool. I realize that most of the appeal is being able to see new ways that Mario characters can be explored and the Mario universe can be explored and to assume control of Mario characters that you've never been able to control before. I just feel like the way in didn't resonate with me. So I can't say to you or to all of the other people who love this game, hey, the game is dumb and you shouldn't like it, because I realize it's a me thing. I can't say the game is bad. All I can say is that nothing about the game appeals to me. Yeah. I personally found it to be boring, but clearly it's so many people's game of the year. It's some people consider it to be the best Mario game of all time. People consider it to be the best 3D Mario game of all time. Give me any 2D Mario game on any console, and it is far and away a more enjoyable experience to me.
I was so sick of the 2D Mario games. I mean, granted, Mario 1, 2, 3, Super Mario World, games like the classics, but I do not need another new Super Mario Brothers game in my life.
I do. I need one bad.
I have played through what I believe to be every type of scenario with Mario in a 2D level that I need. Give me Mario Maker, and that's all I need. Let people make any levels they want to make, and I'm good to go. But from Nintendo's standpoint, they cannot make a 2D Mario game better than the crazy people on the internet that are putting together these absolutely insane Mario Maker courses. So I'll take a 3D Mario any day of the week.
What Nintendo did do with the new Super Mario series was integrate multiplayer, so which is what I always wanted. Contra was one of my favorite games on the NES, and it's because it's the first simultaneous co-op game I've ever played, and it was just unbelievably awesome to be able to pass a controller to a player two, and you're tag teaming the enemies just trying to progress through the level. You don't have to wait your turn like in Mario. Where actually in the original Super Mario Brothers, you're wanting the other player to die so that you can have your turn. And they with the new Super Mario series on Wii U and then also on Wii and then also on Wii U and then the port on Switch, you can have up to four players simultaneously, which is super awesome. And me and my brother, who only plays 2D Mario games, his son and then my daughter, we played through all of Mario Deluxe, got every single star, and then we played through Luigi U Deluxe. I don't know how you say that. It's weird.
Luigi U? Was that what it was called?
It was New Super Luigi U, but the deluxe version of it. We saw on Switch. And we got every star on that one. So I've probably logged more hours in that game this year than any other game. And it was just a blast because they set up a situation in which I can play it cooperatively with family and friends. And I realized that that's also unique to me. So if you're a person who likes to play games single player, or you don't have kids or family or friends who want to play those kinds of games, that's certainly going to shape the experience. And Mario Odyssey, I would say, is maybe a more satisfying single player experience for those people.
Yeah.
But since multiplayer is a big part of my life right now, those are the games that have they resonate a bit stronger, and there's a lot more appeal there.
I can see that. Man, how did we got really down the Mario rabbit hole, didn't we?
We
when
did.
We were talking about Smash Bros. So I'm going to try to, I'll try to get us back there if we
all right.
can.
Let me move all right, loop us back.
Let's see if we can loop back there. So we have one more fighter in the fighter pass, the first fighter pass, that is. There are rumors that, I mean, there's so many rumors. We had rumors of Doom Guy. We had rumors of Geno from Mario RPG. There was rumors of a Resident Evil fighter, which I think now are debunked now that we have the Resident Evil spirits that are they're coming to Smash Bros. I'm at a place where I have no clue. I have no clue who they're going to add. I'd love to see, I guess my two favorites would have to be Conker, which I don't think is going to happen because I don't think we're going to get another rare representative. And the one that makes the most sense, I think, would be Crash Bandicoot. But besides that, I mean, Nintendo has really given us this wide variety of different characters. Characters I never would have thought I'd see in Smash Bros. Specifically Absolutely. Joker. Like, Joker doesn't seem like the kind of character that you would see in Smash Bros. But Nintendo is really...
I think so, too. He's the most out there, to me. Maybe if I was somebody who played Persona games, it wouldn't seem that crazy. But I had never even heard of Joker before he was announced for the DLC fighter. I immediately knew it was a significant announcement because
people were going nuts.
The internet went crazy. Yeah. I actually recently watched his announcement trailer, and I didn't really fully appreciate at the time, even though I watched it live when it happened, just what a big deal it was.
Yeah.
And it was extremely well crafted, and what a shocking announcement to have this character basically artificially hijack the award show and steal an invitation into the game. It was just so appropriate and surprising. And Nintendo started this Fighter's Pass off with such a stunner that it left you wondering what could possibly follow, and anything could possibly follow. Hero and Banjo, I think, are two big surprises. Yeah. And then Terry Bogart came out of nowhere. So what could they possibly do to send this home in a way where you're ending on the highest possible note? I'm with you that I think Crash would do that.
Yeah.
I tweeted earlier in the week that I'm starting to suspect that Nintendo's cleverly instructing agents' representatives to leak false Smash character information in like an orchestrated smoke and mirrors routine to try to keep people guessing, keep people speculating, and to stay in the news cycle. Just because people are talking about this every day. There's a new character every day. Yeah. Like, is it a Ninja Gaiden character? Is it going to be somebody from Half-Life? That you could take a character from any franchise, and there has probably already been a Smash rumor about that character.
Yeah, I'd say that's right.
For me, I think because of the Street Fighter connection and the King of Fighters connection, There's not too many fighting characters in this fighting game. So I think Nintendo's only fighting game character, unless I'm missing one, is Little Mac. And then you have Ryu and Ken and now Terry Bogard. Would this final Fighter Pack character be another fighting game character?
You want it to be Mortal Kombat, don't you?
I would love it. Mortal Kombat's huge for me. It defined a significant portion of my life. And I feel like that's a character that would be a really strong message that you've never been able to take a Mortal Kombat character and fight a Street Fighter character before. It's been a crossover that people have wanted for a really long time. So if I could be Scorpion or Sub-Zero and fight Ken or Ryu,
yeah,
in Smash Brothers with Mario there, that's a showstopper. People would definitely be like, yes, that is a worthy final addition to this Fighter's Pass. But I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah. I would love it. I think it would be amazing. But I do think a Tekken rep would be more likely. A Soul Calibur rep would be more likely. When you look at these characters, we have what kind of game is Persona? I don't even know.
It's an RPG.
So we start with an RPG character, followed by another RPG character, followed by a 3D platformer,
yeah,
followed by a fighting game character. Do they care about that? Like, is the genre?
I mean, I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong.
At this point, speculating is almost pointless. Crash would be a big one. Yeah. I think Crash is the only character who I think would be likely that would also be astronomically impressive.
Yeah.
It sounds totally – I would love Waluigi because I don't have a strong connection to any of the four characters that are in the Fighter Pass so far. Waluigi, I have a strong connection to. I've played him in a million games. I've been playing Waluigi since Mario Tennis 64.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of controversy about Waluigi because a very vocal portion of the community has been doing harassing. And the community aspect does negatively impact, I think, the general perception of the character in Smash. And maybe he doesn't have a very wide fan base, but the meme community has certainly embraced him. I'm not in the camp of Waluigi for Smash. I'm more take it or leave it, but I would love it if he was in there. The only major character that's not. Although I could see King Boo or like another Mario villain getting in there. I do think that there are still a few Nintendo franchises that are not represented that need to be, like ARMS. ARMS is in Smash, but there's no playable character of ARMS in Smash, and ARMS is one of Nintendo's only fighting franchises.
It has a
Mii Fighter costume and an assist trophy, which doesn't quite – and a bunch of spirits.
But it's Nintendo trying to like pretend ARMS doesn't exist anymore. Like, it hasn't received anything. Like, no updates. I mean, I think the tournaments are over.
I don't think that really matters because they're not supporting Wii Fit anymore, obviously. But Wii Fit trainer is a character in the game.
Yeah.
And it harkens back to a significant era in Nintendo. ARMS isn't a game that did poorly, but I think it's also a product of being one of the only first-party titles available at the time. So it was able to sell, you know, several million copies when maybe it's not that good of a game. It certainly didn't have any appeal to me at all. I never bought it, and I didn't care about it. But I like the character designs, and I think playing them in 2D would be more fun. I would love an ARMS character in Smash. For me, Ribbon Girl's the obvious choice because she is not an assist trophy, and there are many characters who already have Mii Fighter costumes like Link and Samus and Krom who also appear as playable fighters. So like she's one of the poster characters. I know a lot of people like Twintel. I think Twintel would be the worst character to be an ARMS representative because she's the only character who doesn't actually fight with her arms.
Yeah.
She's a cool character, but she fights with her hair. It's not called hair. It's called ARMS. So she's kind of an outlier in her own series.
Is ARMS an acronym, though? I can't remember. In ARMS lore, is ARMS like some stupid acronym? Like
if it
advanced
is, I have
robotic no. mechanical stuff?
I don't know. But One thing that, the hero did, though, is I don't really think that the playing style between the different ARMS characters is so unique that they couldn't do something like they did with Hero, where you can take four characters and just make a different skin. And a la Bowser Jr., you can have four or maybe even eight different characters. If they fall within the same relative scale, then you can kind of pick your poison, which one you want to fight as. Because they can kind of swap tools anyway, right? Like, can't they have different extensions on their...
Yeah. You can swap them out.
...appendages? So it wouldn't really matter too much if they created some uniformity between the various extensions.
Some of them are heavies. Like in any other fighting game, you have your heavies and you have your lightweight guys.
Right. So they'd probably avoid using the mummy, but you could easily have Min Min, Spring Man, Ribbon Girl, and
Ninjara. I don't even remember anymore. I mean, I was all about ARMS for about 15 seconds.
You and just about everybody else.
I got kind of bored of it. My daughter loved ARMS. Like, we would play that.
My daughter loves it too.
So actually, I might have to go back and just play ARMS with her. That was just fun playing with her. That's the nice thing about Nintendo games is when we get sick of them, our kids generally still like them. So you kind of learn new things about these games that you never would have realized as just an adult player. So when you have kids playing alongside with you.
So when you have like these four third-party characters that get introduced in the Fighter's Pass, I have to imagine that the third character probably is also going to be third-party, although Nintendo plays by their own rules. They could do anything. Yeah. But there are much bigger Nintendo characters who are not yet in the game that are kind of getting sidelined in favor of these third-party characters that maybe are a bigger deal because it's so surprising and so unexpected. But personally, I'd rather just have more Nintendo characters. I would rather have King Boo. Yeah. I would rather have Dixie Kong. I would rather have Waluigi. Let's get somebody from ARMS in there.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's one of Nintendo's only fighting franchises. Are there any other Nintendo properties that are not represented in some form in Smash?
So I'm looking off to the side right now.
Ring Fit. It's too early, but I think that game has one of the most obvious and amazing Smash characters that you can put in. You could either put in Tip or the avatar with the ring and like make the ring, because there's so many ring moves that just write themselves. You could basically program every ability that the ring gives you and put it in.
Yeah.
Or you can take Drago, which I badly want. I would love to have Drago in Smash. He's just another.
He would be an assist trophy, I think, for sure, if anything.
But I want to beat him up. I want to be a
boss. Maybe a boss.
He'd be an awesome boss, but I would rather fight as him or fight against him, because having more villains in Smash is always a good thing.
Yeah,
we definitely have expanded our villain arsenal by adding King K. Rool and Ridley this time around, in addition to Bowser and Ganondorf. But I think we need a few more.
Oh,
and
I can see that.
The more bad guys you have to beat up, then the less heroes are beating each other up. And it's fun to play both ways. I like the friendly competition between former rivals like Sonic and Mario. I also like being able to flip the script and be Bowser beating up Mario, something you don't often get to do, or be Ganon beating up.
Sometimes.
There's definitely like my wish list of characters I would love to have, but I don't think would ever happen. Like Skull Kid, I think would be super awesome. We're following along the villain track there. Yeah. Another villain I would love to see is more of a classic Pig Ganon.
I mean, we have a few different boss, which was awesome.
Yes. I want to go even more classic, though. I don't want the huge behemoth monster. I want more like the
Link's Awakening.
Link's Awakening.
Link to the Past.
A Link to the Past. And even more so the design from Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons. That's a really good one. You know what? A Link Between Worlds is probably his coolest design, I think. So if we had something like that in there, every bad guy's a heavy, basically. So I don't know how boring that gets, but we don't have anybody fighting with a trident, do we? We don't even
think so.
The only thing even close to that, I think, is Palutena with her staff.
Yeah.
So you could do a lot of cool stuff there.
I mean, for me, I mean, if you were to say I get three picks for Smash, I would die happy if we got these three characters. Crash Bandicoot is top of the list for me.
Okay.
Only because I want to recreate the console wars.
Yep. Like, I love it.
Every single
love
one. It.
I'm number with you there.
Is Rayman. I think Rayman deserves a spot. And number three is one I don't hear a lot of people asking for, but I want it. Earthworm Jim. Earthworm Jim was one of the coolest 16-bit platformers back when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I still think there is enough recognition for Earthworm Jim where he could be considered. But
didn't he just get an exclusive deal with like another fledgling console?
It's the ColecoVision remake thing. It's absolutely terrible. I mean, it's ridiculous in every way. I think it's ColecoVision. I hope I'm not wrong on that one. But yeah, that's where I would fall.
I could totally see Crash happening. Earthworm Jim, I think we kind of grew up in that same era. So I played all of those games and I had a similar, they resonated in a similar way with me. Crash is definitely the big one. I never played a Crash game ever, but the console wars were awesome, where you just have Sony calling out Sega and Nintendo, that to be able to have a fight between Mario, Sonic, and Crash, or to even be able to have former rivals team up, that's what Smash is all about. See, and that he would totally fit into that.
Here's my prediction. The Game Awards this year.
Yeah.
Mario's going to be up there on the screen for something. And you're going to get the guy in the Crash Bandicoot costume with a megaphone heckling him, and he's going to get into Smash. That's my prediction. That's what we're going to see.
I would love that. I think that would really be awesome. He's the only character that I can think of that's been rumored who would really be a good bookend to this collection.
Yeah.
I know we're going to keep going, and I my personal hope is that Nintendo starts looking a little bit more inward with whatever they do next. Let's get a few more of those Nintendo characters in there that still have been sitting on the sidelines. But Crash would be a great one to finish out this collection.
I think Nintendo's going to go big for the last one.
I can't imagine them not. Like they put these together in a certain order for a reason. And I have to imagine that the way that they're developing these, there's not a whole lot of overlap. Maybe like one or two. But because the way that they scheduled it, we knew that Piranha Plant was not finished as of the point that the game launched.
Yeah.
So he was DLC that came out a little bit later. So they're still finishing that up. So it's not like they're just sitting on these waiting for strategic points to release them. They have deadlines.
Yeah.
And they have to develop them over that period of time. So you know that there's a plan. They're not simultaneously developing all six DLC characters, all five of the Fighters Pass characters at the same time.
Because
they have to prioritize what is coming out first, where their deadline is. So they had to have known this was going to be the order, and this is a deliberately orchestrated sequence. This has got to be a big deal. They put Crash, Banjo, right in the middle. Who's the most shocking inclusion out of all of these? Because he's owned by a rival company that is still currently making games and that still has Banjo games on it, whereas Nintendo doesn't. So that they were able to negotiate a deal with them is the most stunning. Is this character going to be as surprising as Banjo? I don't think it is, but I do think it's going to have to be a big deal, right?
Yeah, I think so too. I think I always said it from day one, the biggest one is going to be number five. And I think they're going to close it out with it. It's going to be the biggest bang we're going to see in the Fighter Pass. And then I don't know when we're going to start getting details on Fighter Pass 2.
I think it has to be right away.
Is it even called Fighter Pass 2?
No, because all they really confirmed is that there's going to be more fighters.
Yeah.
So is that going to be isolated releases? Like they say, okay, this is who we're working on now. Or are they going to like double down and do a whole nother five characters? The reason why I think they might is because they get initial capital. With something like this, they have proven themselves. So they can literally say, buy this DLC. We cannot tell you anything about it.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're buying. but we promise you a character, we promise you some music, and we promise you a stage. You've seen our work. If this is something that you think has value to you and you're prepared to drop down money sight unseen, invest in us now. And that certainly is a model that not a lot of companies can get away with. I think if anybody can, it's Sakurai and this particular version of Smash, because we have been blown away by what they've done. And they're continuing to just knock it out of the park. So if they say, you know what, we're actually doing 10 more characters. If you pay us $50 right now, you can you'll get these all as they release.
I'd give them
$50. I would do it.
Yeah.
So would they then be like, okay, we've got another fighter coming, $5.99 for this fighter. Do you want to do that? I think it behooves them as a company to bundle these things. I don't know that they'd go up to 10, but maybe we're going to get like a Fighter's Pass 2. Yeah. But that's pure speculation at this point. I think it makes a lot of financial sense, and I think that they can get away with it. So I don't see why they wouldn't.
Guess we're going to find out. TJ, I want to talk about all of this stuff even more with you. Unfortunately, I'm going to probably have to call this podcast a night pretty quick. Still not feeling super great, but at the same time, too, I got to figure out a way to sneak in a Ring Fit adventure workout tonight before bed, too. So, real quick, before we call this one tonight, I do want to give you guys a heads up for anybody listening or watching the replay of this. This podcast is a weekly podcast. This is episode 9. If you search for the Nintendo Wirecast on iTunes or Spotify, you will find us. So every week we put out a new episode. We typically talk about Ring Fit to start off every episode.
Yeah.
The end of the year is always slow for Nintendo. So Ring Fit is definitely the topic that we have kind of fallen in love with, for lack of a better word. But that being said,
because we're doing it constantly. So we're doing it every day. So it's constantly present in our minds.
But that being said, if you want to listen to even more of these episodes, you can find us in those locations. And real quick, one more just kind of celebratory message here before we head out. We are like, I think, 2,000 subs away, 2,400 subs away from 100,000. I mean, it's been a long time coming. I'm beginning to think it's going to happen probably sometime in January, but who knows? It could happen at the end of the year. So if you're new, if you're kind of a new person here and you want to help support this channel and you want to be part of the first 100,000, hit that subscribe button. We are so close to hitting that, and we have some pretty cool celebrations coming when that happens too. Tom Brown, the guy who does our DMakes, he has a special video in store for 100,000 subscriptions, so you can look forward to that too. But before I go, my name's Amiibo Jason. You can find me on Twitter at Amiibo Jason. I'm the editor-in-chief of NintendoWire.com. You can also find Nintendo Wire on Twitter at NinWire. And where can we find you?
Most of my content goes right here on YouTube. I've got a new episode of Custom Conquest coming out probably within the next day or two, so keep your eyes peeled for that. I want to echo Jason's sentiment about subscribe. It really does help us out. We're right there on that, that 100,000 precipice. And if you want to keep up with me on social media, I'm probably most active on Twitter under the account at Custom Conquest.
All right. Once again, thank all of you for joining us on our very first live episode of the Nintendo Wirecast. Sorry for the technical issues that we had earlier in the episode. We're going to get better at this once we decide if we're going to keep doing this format. But as always, until next time, stay wired in.
Thanks for playing.